tonight I wanted to do sort of an independent topic, not really directly related to the Gemara that we were in the middle of, and then Mitzvah Shem tomorrow start the nitty-gritty of Hilchos Mezuzah, of where you put a mezuzah. I wanted to basically learn the very last siman in Hilchos Mezuzah tonight, which is siman Reish Tzad the Aleph. Now the entire Mar Makomos packet that I gave out is all on the second si'if in Reish Tzad the Aleph. Let me just spend a few minutes on each of the other si'ifim, and then we'll go into the packet that I gave out to discuss the second si'if, which is the one that certainly brings out the most discussion. The first si'if in Reish Tzad the Aleph, which is again the last siman Hilchos Mezuzah in Yardaya, is Mezuzas Yachin Nevdekes Pa'amayim B'Sheva Shanim, that one is supposed to check a mezuzah twice every 7 years, V'Shal Rabim Pa'amayim B'Yovel, but if it's a mezuzah of a rabim, let's say a mezuzah on the door of the yeshiva, so that doesn't need to be checked twice every 7 years, that would only need to be checked twice in a yovel. That is the halacha of the Shulchan Aruch. Shach explains that the reason that we're so makel with community-owned mezuzahs, Shach and Sifkat Nalif, says is that there's a concept in Shas called that a kedera debe trei lo chamimi velo kariri, that when you have something that multiple people are responsible for, it tends to happen that nobody takes charge and nobody actually bears responsibility, so we don't want to be too tough on the rabbin because then we're afraid nothing's ever going to get done. We try to make it as lenient as possible so that hopefully it will be enough that at least it will get done twice in the Yovel, twice every 50 years. It's not that a mezuzah of a rabbin has less likelihood of being pasul than a mezuzah of a yachid. So that's the explanation of the Shach. As we discuss this over the next 5 minutes or so, we'll see maybe there might be another explanation of why a mezuzah of a rabbin might be different. So the question is, why do we check? What's the purpose of checking a mezuzah? So Pash Pshat, Rashi, Nyuma, Dafir Alf, and Alf says, the two possible reasons. First, he says, what probably is the most Pash Pshat, is a concern that it became pasul. So you need to make sure that it's not pasul. But then Rashi says, another reason why you check the mezuzah, just to check that it's still there. Someone might have stolen it. Mezuzahs cost money, and they're always right there on the outside of people's homes. You don't even need to break in to get them. So there's a legitimate concern that someone may have stolen them, and therefore, that's why you have to check. So now, if the concern is that the scroll and the ink have become worn out, so it's clear that the way to check would be by actually reading the mezuzah. If the whole reason you're checking the mezuzah is just to make sure it's there, the way to check would be opening up the case, looking, seeing, closing, and that would be it. You wouldn't even need to read the mezuzah. If the mezuzah were kept in a very secure location where you have cameras or whatever, and laser things, and no one could ever go there without the password or whatever it is, and you know for sure that it hasn't been stolen, so then obviously only the first reason would apply. It seems that we check for both reasons. We have to verify that the mezuzah is present, and we also have to verify that it's still kosher. Now, who is qualified to check a mezuzah? So it's most common, obviously, to have a sofer check the mezuzah, but there is an interesting comment of the Pesachei Tshuva right here in Reish Tzad the Aleph, Sifkat and Gimel, where Pesachei Tshuva writes that in the name of the Chassam Sofer, that as long as you could read Hebrew, you could check a mezuzah. Meaning, if you know that the mezuzah was kosher once, so you know it was written properly, and the letters were, the Tzuras HaOsios was proper, and everything was done in the proper way, and all you're checking for is that letters haven't been cracked, broken, erased, or anything of that nature. So if you can read Hebrew, just look at the letters, make sure that they're still there, and that's it. If you see a smudge, you see a faded letter, you see touching letters, so then go to a sofer, and then you'll deal with the problem. But just to check the basics, so that you don't even need you don't need to be anyone other than someone who needs to read Hebrew. Furthermore, having someone who's not a sofer check is only sufficient, like we said, only once the mezuzahs have been certified kosher once. If you buy a mezuzah from an unknown source, which pretty much every source is an unknown source, and you don't really know about the kashrus of the mezuzah, so you need to get it checked by another sofer, an independent party, once, just to make sure that it's actually kosher. When I spoke to the mezuzah doctor about all the mezuzahs that he's checked over the course of, you know who the mezuzah doctor is? Anyone from Queens here? Rabbi Moshe Gantz, he's Rabbi Grala's father-in-law, so he checks mezuzahs, Sefer Torah, and things like that for a living. He doesn't write much, but he checks and helps serve as a sort of an agent to go buy things and find the best quality or what you're looking for. So he keeps statistics about mezuzahs that he's checked. So he said that I forgot the exact number, but something like 95% or more of the mezuzahs that he found to be pasul were always pasul. It's not that they became pasul, they were pasul to begin with, and people just bought them by tefillin also. People just bought them not knowing what they were buying, and not knowing who they could trust, and they were always pasul to begin with. Just a second. How can he tell? Now, what? how could he tell that? Because it's missing a letter or something like that. You know, so that's clearly always possible. Now, even if the mezuzahs were purchased from someone who's a very righteous person, and you know he's an erlich guy, you should still check them, because sometimes even an erlich guy doesn't concentrate so well or has a difficult time. You know, might make a mistake. Everybody is human. And also, Rav Moshe or Chaim Chelakei Simon Beis discusses that there are different types of ksav. Ashkenazi ksav and Sephardi ksav is different. Chasidish ksav and non-chasid. I have a fellow in my shul. His name is Binyamin Palm. He's a grandson of Rav Palm. He had his mezuzahs checked. He bought the most beautiful, expensive mezuzahs from a guy he trusts a lot, and they were all beautiful, mehudar, kosher, great. They were all written in Ksavari. His grandfather held that if it's written in Ksavari and you're a Litvish guy, you need to change all of your mezuzahs. That you have to have Ksav Beis Yosef. You can't have Ksavari. So most, yes, average guy goes into a store, I'd like to buy mezuzahs. Okay, what kind of Ksav would you like? Ari, Beis Yosef, Velish? I don't know, what do people get? You know, that would be the response. We've never even heard of those things. So it's important to be familiar with some of the basic elements of what you need, or go to a sofer who is familiar. A lot of the printed mezuzahs that are commonly sold, you know, sometimes it looks like it's handwritten and it's really just printed from a printer. Like, sometimes you would need just that level, just to know that it was handwritten. I remember when I moved into my house that I currently live in, the people who were moving out asked me to check their mezuzahs on the way out. They weren't religious at all, and maybe they were affiliated with some sort of conservative reform synagogue, but they certainly were not Orthodox Jews, and they had two or three mezuzahs in the house, and they asked me to check it before they moved out. Their moving day was Shabbos, by the way, but they asked me to check it before they moved out, because they were, as the husband said, my wife is superstitious, so she wants you to check the mezuzah. So I said okay. So I don't know why I said okay, but I just opened up the mezuzah and I saw it was clearly a printed mezuzah. It wasn't handwritten. I said, this mezuzah is as kosher as it ever was. Okay, well, what can I tell them? I didn't want them to not leave the house. So anyway, but that's why it's important to get a checked once at least by someone who really knows what he's doing, and then later times really anybody theoretically could check them. You have a question?
Yeah. Does that anywhere include Khan? Like, as long as they're able to read Hebrew?
I mean, I don't know if they would have the ne'emanus to, you know, have the focus to check and to... It's not just... Yeah, I don't know about that. There are a couple of exceptions to these rules that we mentioned. The Aruch HaShulchan, Reish Sadi Aleph says that the requirement to check twice every 7 years assumes that the mezuzah is exposed to normal conditions. But if it's exposed to extreme heat, sometimes, let's say you put an outdoor mezuzah, you put in not the best case. Sometimes they sell heavy-duty, sturdy cases for outdoors, but sometimes people just want to have a nice one, so they put a silver case that doesn't really protect it very much, and it's in you live in London, and it rains every single day, and it's, you know, something like that. If it's always exposed, or you live in Phoenix, and it's exposed to extreme heat, or something of that nature, so then the Aruch HaShulchan points out it's probably best to get it checked more frequently. On the other side of the coin, Rav Shlomo Zalman said that if the mezuzah remains enclosed in plastic and is completely protected from the wall and from the elements, so you could check it much less frequently in Halicha Shlomo, Tefillah, Dalit Nun Beis. He says, no reason to check twice every 7 years if you know that it's protected. It's been sitting on your bedroom door and it's very, very carefully well protected. Nothing ever could have happened to it. So then there's no reason to check it even that often, yeah?
I'm assuming that when you get it checked, when you have to, you can take it down and take it out or give it in, and 2 days later pick it up.
So that's a good question. So that's we're gonna let's hold that till we discuss taking mezuzahs off of the house.
Will you say that for tefillin also?
For sure. In fact, you have a better chance of passing your tefillin by checking them than by not checking them. Just by opening them up and upsetting, you know, unrolling them, so that will, that's more likely to cause it. But again, the reason I recommend people check tefillin every once in a while, and not necessarily twice every 7 years, every 5 years or something, is that a lot of times the ritzuos get bad, there are nicks on the batim, things like that you wouldn't notice or you wouldn't remember to fix, but if you check every couple, you know, that the sofer will fix. So Elamai, he's also going to open it up and check the parshios also. And sometimes you'd be surprised. I know people who are very strict about checking their tefillin every, you know, twice every 7 years, and at the age of 30, they got their tefillin checked by a reliable sofer, and it turned out that it was missing a letter the entire time. People that checked it previously didn't concentrate so well, or weren't so erlich, or whatever it was. So it's more important than how often you check it is knowing with whom you are checking it. That is much more important. Rav Shlomo Zalman said that tefillin don't require any checking. He said you don't have to check at all because they're so protected, unless, again, you expose it to the elements. You leave it in your car on a frigid days throughout the winter or something like that. So then maybe it would be worse because the cold maybe will get to it or something. If the mezuzahs were painted over and it's difficult to get them out of the wall, so someone asked Rav Moshe in Negros Moshe or Dechel Galvsim Kufpe Gimel, can you just leave them there and put a new one on top instead of checking the old one? So Rav Moshe said no. He said that they have to be removed for checking, and it's not enough to add another mezuzah and forget about the original mezuzah, because let's say the one that's underneath all that paint is kosher. Now you violated Altosif, so that's a big problem. So Moshe points out, when the mezuzah has been painted over, you should check it right away, because paint is something that that's something bad to expose the mezuzah to. That has a high likelihood of passing the mezuzah. In Kitzur Shulchan Aruch Kuf Chav Ches Siv Gimel, he says that an Adam Chashuv should check his mezuzahs each and every year. Matt Ephraim says the practice of checking mezuzahs in your house during Elul is a worthwhile practice. That's something that you'll find around Elul time. That's where the mezuzah checking becomes very popular. There is a well-known minhag Yisrael that when something bad happens in a family, they get their mezuzahs checked. That as much as sometimes we make fun of the superstitious elements of Jewish practice, or not Jewish practice, of practice that people claim to be Jewish practice, this is well-sourced. There is a Tshuvas Maril that, and again, this is based on the Gemara that we did, that the mezuzah protects. So therefore, if you see that your family is not being protected, there is reason to assume, obviously, you should be mfashish b'masav also. The ikri should be mfashish b'masav. But also, check the mezuzah also is not such a bad idea. Tshuvas Maril Siman Sadi Dalid mentions that you should have. That is Si'if Aleph in Shulchan Aruch. Si'if Gimel in Shulchan Aruch, and again, we're going to go back to Siv Beis afterwards because that's going to be the bulk of our discussion, is Shulchan Aruch says, HaKol Chayavim B'Mezuzah V'Afilu Nashim V'Avadim U'Mechanchen Esaktanim L'Asos Mezuzah B'Pischeim. Everyone has to do Mezuzah, even women, even Avadim, and we're mechanich pitanim also to put a mezuzah up. So why are women chayiv mezuzah? The Gemara gives two reasons. Gemara Brachos Stav Chafam Beis says that women, because it's mitzvah shelo zman grama, why should women be pater? It's not zman grama. It's you're chayiv so long as you live in the house. So of course they're going to be chayiv. The Gemara also says in Yuma Daf Yir Alfam Beis, and as I mentioned to you, besides from Menachos Lam Beis Lam Gimel, Yuma Yir Alef is the other very important daf to do to really know Hilchos Mezuzah. Those are the two sugyas in all of Shas that really discuss Hilchos Mezuzah. So the Gemara over there says, the Pasuk says, Man Yirbu Yimechem. So women also want to have a long life. So if that's what Mezuzah accomplishes, women, Nashim Bayi Chai, women need long life just as much as men need long life. And that's why women are Chayavos and Mezuzah. The more interesting discussion, with the women, it's an open and shut case. Of course they're going to be Chayav and Mezuzah. The more interesting discussion is Ketanim. So you say the Ketanim have to make a Mezuzah, are Mishum Chinuch, which sounds like it's only Mishum Chinuch Midrabanan. However, if Shlomo Kluger in his Tshuvas Shnos Chaim writes that if you have a child's room in his parents' home, that's not only Mitam Chinuch. That's the Chiv on the parents, because it's the parents' home. When we say that a child is Chayiv Mezuzah Mitam Chinuch, it means if the child lives by himself, if he has his own home, that's when he's Chayiv Mezuzah. But if he's so long as he's under his father's roof, so then it's the father's Chiv, it's not the child's Chiv. The poskim point out, though, that a child should not, this is where Shlomo Kluger points out, a child should not put up a mezuzah on a gadol's doorway, because kvias mezuzah requires shlichus. I can't just have anybody put up the mezuzah. It's not enough that the mezuzah be there. The mezuzah, there's a maisa mitzvah of kvias mezuzah. So I need to have someone, if I'm not going to do it myself, I need to have someone who's a bar shlichus, someone who I can make my shliach to put up my mezuzah for me. The child is not a ben shlichus, and mela, child is not allowed to put up a mezuzah. If a child does put up a mezuzah on an adult's doorway, you got to take it down and put it up again. Not only that, there's an interesting discussion in the Achronim. What if a child put up a mezuzah when he was 12 years old and then he became 13? So does he have to take it down and put it up again, or could he just leave the mezuzah that he put up himself? Very similar discussion in the Poskim. If a child makes himself tzitzis when he's 12 years old, and then he becomes bar mitzvah, does he need a new pair of tzitzis? So it's a very fascinating discussion, exactly what the gather is. Now, clearly, it's not, you don't have the sakana element. It's a bayish yeshua. Again, the two elements we kept on discussing. The sakana, the protection of the house, that you have, because there is a mezuzah there, there's a kasher mezuzah there. But the mitzvah of kviyas mezuzah, the actual mitzvah of putting it up, that maybe you don't have. Now there's another reason offered why a child is not allowed to put up a mezuzah on a gadol's doorway, and that's offered by the Tshuvas Chikrei Lev Simen Kuf Chav Ches. So this is all quoted in the Sefer Pischei Mezuzos in the Biurim, which is his equivalent of the Bir Halacha. So he writes that from the Chikrei Lev Simen Kuf Chav Ches that a katan can't do kviyas mezuzah because a katan can't do ksivas stam. Katan is not allowed to write Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzos. How do I know katan can't do ksivas stam? That's the Gemara Menachos Lamed Gimel. Uksharta Muchsavtem. The kol she, I'm sorry, that's in Gittin. We'll see Menachos Lamed Gimel in a second. That kol she yeshno b'kshiri yeshno b'ksiva. Only those who are able to tie tefillin on their hands are chayiv in tying the tefillin, are chayiv in writing the tefillin. Kol she enu b'kshira enu b'ksiva. Someone who's not chayiv in tying the tefillin, mele is not chayiv in writing the tefillin. It's not kosher to write the tefillin. And perhaps we can just extend that to kviyas hamezuzah as well. Because it says uchsavtem, you should be koveya. The uchsavtem al mezuzos means that you should write them and then be koveya them on the mezuzah. You should be koveya that ksiva on the mezuzah. The same person who writes it is someone who's eligible to be koveya the mezuzah. A child is not eligible to write it. Memeli is not eligible to be koveya the mezuzah. That's our Gemara Menachos Lamed Gimel, where Rabbi Yossi says kviyas mezuzah has to be begova hapesach, that it's got to be high up on the door. How does he learn that? Where does he learn that from? From Kshira's tefillin. And this is going to be our next discussion starting tomorrow, exactly where on the door you're supposed to put the mezuzah. But he learns that from Kshira's tefillin, that just like Kshira is high up on the arm, so too the mezuzah should be high up on the door. So apparently there's some connection between the mitzvah's Kshira and the mitzvah of Kviyas HaMezuzah. So maybe who can do it is also subject to that same connection. But anyway, that's clearly the halacha, that everyone is chayav mezuzah, even nashim, even avadim, even ketanim. Now, let's discuss the primary topic of tonight's shiur, which is Siv Beis in Simen Reish Sadi Aleph. So Siv Beis says as follows, you have it in your first Marim Makom in the sheets, has socher bayis mechavero, if a person rents his house from his rents a house from his friend, has socher chayiv l'kvo b'mezuzah, ul'sakin makom kviusa. The guy who's renting the house who's going to be living there, is the one that has to put up a mezuzah and to make sure that the area is ready for a mezuzah. And then the Rama adds, "Va'afilu sachar abayis becheskas sheyesh la mezuzah, lavi mekach ta'us." Let's say I rented the house, and you said to me when you're renting the house to me. So you said to me, "The house has everything. It's fully furnished. It's got everything. You're not going to need to do anything. You will need to add nothing." And we're both from Jews. So you tell me I'm going to need to do nothing. So I'm assuming that means that there are mezuzahs in the house also. And then I move in and I see there's not a single mezuzah in the whole place. So now, says the Rama, I can't claim mekach ta'us. If I find another apartment next door that has mezuzahs that's going to offer me rent, the same rent, I can't say, "I'm sorry, I'm nulling our lease, I'm voiding our lease, it's null and void because I'm nullifying our lease because the it's not what I expected." L'mashal, where do you have mekach ta'us? Let's say I buy a car from you, and it turns out that the car, one little thing, you forgot the steering wheel on the car. So I could say, no, when I purchased a car, you told me it had a V8 engine, and that it does. That's great, but I assumed that there was supposed to be a steering wheel. So if there's no steering wheel, I could be mevatel al mekach. Let's say I thought there were going to be four cup holders, but there were only three cup holders. So then I can't be mevatel the mekach. That's only a very minor thing. The assumption is most people will not be mevatel the mekach for something like that, right? So what about mezuzah? What about the lack of mezuzahs when I rent an apartment? So the Rama writes, "Va'afilu sachar abayis b'cheska sheyesh mezuzah." It's not a mekach ta'us. So what does that mean? It's not a mekach ta'us, and therefore I am bound by the lease, right? And who has to put up the mezuzah? Someone's got to pay for mezuzahs now. I'm still bound by the lease. I can't back out of the lease. Do I therefore have to pay for the mezuzahs, or can I say, "Look, I'm bound by the lease, I can't back out of it, but you still have a responsibility to put up these mezuzahs," because that was the understanding. The maskir was the one that was really supposed to put them up according to our understanding. Or do we say, no, the halach is it's chavas adar, it's a chiv on the person living there, it's not a mechach tos, let the person living there put up the mezuzah at his own expense, and it can be expensive. You could have, 15 mezuzahs in a house, and you get really nice ones, $100 each mezuzah, so you're talking money, right? It could be very expensive. So whose responsibility is that? What do you think from reading this Ramah? What did you think? You may not have thought about it, but now that I'm challenging you to think about it, what do you think? What does Ramah sound like he's saying?
It's still
on
the renter.
Why?
It says he's chayiv.
All right. The Mechaber had just said that the renter is the one that's chayiv, that the socher is the one that's chayiv. If the Ramah is going to say that the responsibility gets shifted to the maskir, he probably should have mentioned something like that. All he says is, it's not a mekach tos, sorry, you can't claim anything, even if you thought the mezuzah was going to be there. It's still not going to be a mekach tos. Now, notice his lashon. You rented the house becheskas sheyesh lemezuzah. What if it wasn't just becheskas? What does becheskas mean? With the assumption. Why did you assume that? Did you assume that because he told you that that was going to be there? Or did you assume that because you were just assuming that that was the case? For no real reason? Or maybe the example I gave, I tried to be careful in the example I gave, was he told you the house is fully loaded, you're not going to need to put anything. He never said the word mezuzah. He just said, you're not going to need to put anything in this house. It has everything a Jew could need. It's got two sinks. It's got two ovens. Three for paravolsa. It's got everything. It's got, you know, every chumra, just like they had in Europe. Three ovens in every home. And right? It's got all that you need. But he never said the word mezuzah. So you assumed. The guy's a firm Jew. He knows I need mezuzahs. But cheskas yesh le mezuzah. Maybe if he guarantees me, the halacha is going to be different. I put it in the contract. I want mezuzahs. So yeah, it might be my responsibility, but by him signing that contract with me, maybe he's accepted responsibility now. And I can claim mekach tos. Because let's say I buy a car and I say to the person, all I care about is I carpool with three other people every day. We always fight over the cup holders. All I care about is that there are four working cup holders in the car. That's all I need. I don't care if it's V8, V6. I don't care if it's a Porsche or a Hyundai. I just need four cup holders. And I put that in the contract. And I buy the car. And it turns out that there are three cup holders, even though Stamp and Adam are not makbid about that. If I made a point to be makbid about it, and it was in the contract, so then you would say it's a mekach tos. That's probably where the Ramah says becheskas. I could argue the other way. I could say that's why it's an engine and it's not a cup holder. Because I don't want to be in a house full of mazikim. So that's why I'm more makbid. I could argue your way also. That's why it's a debatable point.
I mean, it could be that the chazak is like, you know, the continuation of the halacha that, you know, let's say you live in Eretz Yisrael in a town where there's only Jews. So it's mustam when you're buying a house, the guy's going to leave his...
Oh, you're saying based on the next halacha that he's not supposed to leave it. Okay, good. We have no right that we're not talking about the first renter of a brand new house either. Right? It could be that no one ever lived there before and there are no mezuzahs and we don't even enter that halacha. Or maybe we don't enter that halacha. Yeah, what else?
I think like the, like in Tzachim it says about like the...
Oh.
This is
where the sugya is. The sugya is Psachim Dav Dalet, right? Yeah. Anyone learn Psachim? This is where the sugya really, really gets started. I didn't include it in the Mar Mekamos. I'll give you a quick rundown of what it says there in the Gemara, the basic Machlokes Rishonim, and that's going to cause major trouble for the Ramah. That reference to Psachim. There is a Gemara in Psachim Dav Dalet Amar Aleph. The Gemara says if a person is Masker Bayis Lechavero Becheskas Baduk, same word. Right, becheskas that it's already searched for chametz, and you go into the house. You're so excited. You just rented a place in Orlando for Pesach, and you're gonna go to Disney World throughout Chol HaMoed. It's gonna be fantastic. And you walk into the house, and there's Entenmann's donuts all over the place, or whatever it is. You know, Mickey Mouse cupcakes. So chametz all over the place. So she'enu baduk. Frek the Gemara. Is that a mekach tos or is it not a mekach tos? Can I back out and say, no, I'm going to the next house over? The Gemara says, Says Abaye, Lomi baye ba'asu de lo yavi yigro badku de nichalei l'nishlamav mitzvah begufe. Not only in a place where the minhag is that people do not pay other people to do bedikas chametz, but they do it on their own, where we assume clearly, I'd be happy to do a mitzvah on my own. What do you mean? The whole reason I went away for Pesach is that I could do bedikas chametz on another house. I want to do the mitzvah of bedikas chametz on my own, of course. But not only that, even in a place where the minhag is that people pay other people to do bedikas chametz, the assumption is nichalei linish lamav mitzvah b'mone. Very fascinating chazak in general, that we assume people are always happy to have mitzvahs done with their money. So even though I thought I was going to save money, I wasn't going to have to do bedika, but now I see, oh, I'm so lucky, I get to spend more money on the mitzvah of bedikas chametz, and I'm happy about that. So it's not a mekach tos. I'm very satisfied to spend more money on bedikas chametz. Yeah.
Why don't we rule that on a case-by-case basis? Instead of saying,
assume that one. We sort of do. In terms of, we just had a shiur recently, Tamin Halacha shiur, I think maybe it wasn't even something about borrowing people's tefillin without permission, borrowing people's svarim without permission. So it sort of is on a case by case basis. Shulchan Aruch already says it really depends on what the derech of people is to be makbid about or not to be makbid about. But the Gemara assumes that at least in Talmudic times, people were very happy to spend the money that it cost to hire.
Why don't we just ask him?
Oh, the Gemara deals with why we don't ask him. Let's assume we can't. So the Magid Mishnah in Hilchos Pesach, Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Ches, quotes the Shita of the Ramban, that the whole Shaila of the Gemara was, it's a Mekach Taos, if whether it's Mekach Taos, is even when the Maskir wants to pay the Socher the Schara Bedika, meaning it's whether the maskir is chayv to pay for it. That's the whole shaila of the Gemara, and the Gemara says no, it's not a mekach taos. The socher should be the one doing the mitzvah, right? As long as the maskir pays for it, that's the Ramban's shita. That it's pashut that the maskir is going to be responsible to pay for it, but the shaila is if the maskir didn't do it. Is that itself a mekach taos? So the Ramban holds that the maskir has to pay the socher for the money of the bedika. We don't say nichal lemavin mitzvah when it's chasrei mamona, when you're going to lose your money. Sounds like it's against the Gemara a little bit, because the Gemara says nichal lemavin mitzvah mamona. Ramban sort of adds, as long as you can get paid back, as long as the maskir is going to cover you afterwards. Like, for right now, I'll be happy to do it, but, you know, make sure I get reimbursed for this. I don't want to lose the money long term. That is the sheet of the Ramban. The Ran, however, says that it's not a mekach tos, and therefore the socher cannot ask the maskir for a dime. Good? Because it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that the maskir should have done, because that was the deal originally, that was the chazakah. But if he didn't do it, he has no financial responsibility. The financial responsibility is on the socher. So basically, the exact question I asked you by mezuzah. I go into a house that's supposed to have a mezuzah. It doesn't have a mezuzah. Who's responsible? Now, obviously the maskir did a terrible thing. It's supposed to have one, it should have had one. That's not the issue. Who pays for it? That's the shaila I asked you. Turns out, in bedikas chametz, it's machlokas, Ramban and Ran. Same exact parallel case by Bedikas Chametz, Machlokas, Ramban and Ran. What is Shulchan Aruch Paskin? Yeah?
Whose obligation is it to put mezuzah?
Well, really it's the person who lives there. But if I make a deal with you, you're renting me a house, and the assumption is that the industry standard, everyone rents houses in this area, we live in Bnei Brak and everyone's Jewish, everyone's from, the standard is that there are mezuzahs when I rent it, so then it is your responsibility, not mine, even though I'm going to be living there. Because if that's the standard and that's the understanding, it becomes your responsibility. But if you didn't, that's our shiloh. Who pays for it? If you didn't do it, I can't say Mekach Tos, I'm leaving and I'm voiding the whole contract. But who's responsible to pay for it? So Shulchan Aruch and Aruchayim Sim Tovlam and Zayin Sif Gimel Paskins Hamaskir Bayis Chaver Becheskes Baduk V'Nimtza She'eino Baduk. That case, you go into the house, it's supposed to be Baduk, it's not. Ala Socher Livdok. Socher's responsibility to do the bedika ve'enu mekach taos va'afil b'makom shenosim schar ala bedika shaharei mitzvah hu oseh. Even if it costs money, you're happy to do a mitzvah. However, says the Ramah, v'yesh omrim shetzarech lahachzir lo schar ha-bedika hol v'hisna be'ed yeshi'e baduk. The Ramah says, but the guy who rented the house to you should have to pay you the money because that was the deal. You weren't supposed to have to spend the money. What does it sound like? Shulchan Aruch Paskins like the Ran, that the socher is going to have to bear the brunt of the payment, and the Ramah Paskins like the Ramban, that the maskir is going to have to bear the brunt of the payment, right? Now, if that's the case, Frecht the Beis Hillel, the Mefarish on the side of the Shulchan Aruch in Yerodea, in Reish Sadi Aleph, it's a stira in Ramah. The Ramah in Aruch Chaim in Hilchos Pesach says that when I rent a house and the assumption is it's supposed to have been checked for chametz, and I walk in there and it hasn't been checked, so now I got to pay somebody to check it. The Ramah says, you, the person who rented me the house, has to pay me back. And yet over here in Hilchos Mezuzah says the Ramah, I was socher abayis b'cheska sheyesh lo mezuzah, it's not a mekachtos, not a word about the masker having to reimburse me. Stira in the Ramah. The Ramah over here seems to say like the Ran, the Ramah in Hilchos Pesach seems to say like the Ramban.
Can't you say that there are really two different cases? That in the case of Pesach, so when he's not fulfilling his condition of doing the bedikah, so then even though the Gemara can say that you want to go ahead and pay for the mitzvah, it's still an inconvenience. Let's say you're coming there a few hours before Pesach, but you can go, have to go ahead and go do a whole bedikah, then you could and by not doing it, you could possibly overvalue your bayi matzah. As opposed to when it comes to a house, you
much bigger job to do bedikas chametz,
yeah,
you're saying.
As opposed to a house, you're coming and you could just put the mezuzah where it intrinsically benefits you from the mezuzah, wherever it is that the mezuzah
good,
does.
Good.
A whole separate entity.
Definitely a possibility. Definitely a possibility. Yeah.
Which, where is the
in Aruch Chaim, you're saying?
Yeah.
Is in Taf Lamed Zayin Sif Gimel. Taf Lamed Zayin Sif Gimel. Three answers Achronim give to try to be miyashiv the Ramah. Number one, the Mikdash Ma'at.
Well, the Ramah by mezuzah doesn't say it clearly, so maybe you could just.
Good. Let's go one by one. Mikdash Ma'at writes that by mezuzah, the Ramah also holds that the masker has to pay. It's just that the Ramah already wrote it in Aruch Chaim. So he figured, you know, who's going to read the Ramah in Hilchos Mezuzah and not have read the Ramah in Aruch Chaim and remember it? Like, obviously. Yeah, so it says over there that you have to pay, so over here the Ramah is being samech on that. A little bit difficult because, you know, when they're in some close proximity to each other, you could say he was samech on what he wrote at the beginning of the Simin or maybe the last Simin. But, you know, here he is in Yor Day, Reish Sadi Aleph, and he's assuming that you're going to remember what he said in Hilchos Pesach. In Taf Lamed Zayin, that's much more difficult. But that's one possibility. That's the Mikdash Ma'at. Magen Avraham, over there in Aruch Chaim, Taf Lamed Zayin, gives a different answer. The only thing is very difficult to understand what his answer is. He writes as follows. V'yesh lomar, disham ein bo chesron kis, shamezuzah ba'atzma hishava hadamim shenasan ba'ada. You're not losing money, sham, since he's writing in Aruch Chaim, sham means by us, here in mezuzah. There's no real loss of money because the mezuzah is worth all that money that you pay for it. What? And bezikas chametz is not worth the money that you pay for it? What does that mean?
Yeah? You could always sell the mezuzah later. Or, I mean, there is.
Can you? You're the one that pointed out before. When you leave, you got to leave it there.
Well, so you put on a new one, a nicer one, so you could take these off. Like, there is some intrinsic value.
Okay, good.
But bezikas chametz, you can't get
it's
back.
Right, it's a one-time thing. As soon as you bring one Cheerio in, the whole thing is gone. Yeah.
But the whole point of mezuzah is to protect from a vacancy. You're getting something from the mezuzah as opposed to the bezikas chametz. What you're getting, you're chiyuv to do bezikas chametz. Well, if you do,
I mean, there's a practical benefit aside from the mitzvah.
Yeah,
So the Machsa Shekel explains. Machsa Shekel over there in Aruch Chaim says that the socher, when he leaves the house, even though he's not allowed to take the mezuzahs. He sides with sin. And even though he's not allowed to take the mezuzahs, if he wants, he can charge the next guy. We're going to see soon the Ramah says he's allowed to charge the next guy who comes into the house for the mezuzahs. So he has the money. So I'm not losing anything. It's an investment. I'm buying the mezuzahs now. I'll sell them to you later. And therefore, but the bedikas chametz is a one-time thing. I'm going to lose all that money. So the reason the masker has to pay by bedikas chametz is because it was his responsibility to pay. I shouldn't have to lose the money. But by mezuzah, I'm not going to lose the money. That is the Machs HaShaka's explanation of the Magen Avraham. Third approach is the Prima Gadim. Prima Gadim on that Magen Avraham. Eshel Avraham Osvav in Aruch Chaim over there writes that we could have been Miyashev, and we'll see he rejects this, but he writes that we could have been Miyashev, that the Mezuzah case is talking about that we never made it Tanai that there's supposed to be mezuzahs there, and therefore the masker doesn't have to pay. But by Bedikas Chametz, it could be that we made an explicit Tanai. That Becheskas means that we really made an explicit Tanai that it was supposed to be Baduk, and therefore he has to pay. That's a very posh answer, but the Prima Gadim says that when it comes to the mezuzah, it doesn't sound like we never made it tonight. It sounds like they did make it tonight. It sounds like it was said beferish. Okay, maybe yes, maybe no, but the Prima Gadim himself rejects that answer. It's interesting, in the Sefer Chovas Hadar, Perek Aleph Sefer Aleph, he writes that if they made it tonight beferish, that there's supposed to be mezuzahs there, then the maskir does have to pay. Meaning he clearly assumes, like this answer of the Prima Gadim, that the Prima Gadim himself rejects. Right? And he quotes it from the Prima Gadim. A little bit difficult because the Prima Gadim himself didn't like what the Prima Gadim said. In the Sefer Pischei Mezuzos, in the Biurim, he writes, Nirli in Dina, Ta'avkeshe Hisna, Sochoshesh Mezuzos Vlo Nimsu, Pater, Maskul Shalim Lo. He's not convinced that the Prima Gadim's answer is the right answer. And therefore, even if there was a Tanai attached to it that there was supposed to be mezuzah, still the masker is potter from paying.
What was the Prima Gadim's
answer? That the case of the mezuzah where the Rama says the masker doesn't have to pay is because we never said explicitly that it needs to have mezuzah there. I just assumed it's going to have mezuzah there. The case where the masker does have to pay by B'dik Schametz is where it was stated explicitly that it was supposed to be baduk.
The case is different?
Yeah. That's what the Prima Gadim originally said. He rejects it. Okay, and maybe one of these other answers is correct, right? So that's the basic discussion in regards to the first part of Se'if Beis in Siman Reish Tzadi Aleph. Let's go a little bit weiter now. Okay, that was just about when you rent a house, whose responsibility is it? So technically, it's the person who's going to be living there's responsibility. If the other person was assumed to have taken care of it, he should take care of it. If he didn't, the person who's living there has to take care of it. Now says the Shulchan Aruch, Ukisha Yetzei, Lo Yitlan Nebiyado. When you leave your rented house, after you put up your mezuzahs there, you are not permitted to take them with you. Says the Rama, Vim Hikbir Al Ma'oseha, Hasheni Tzarech L'Shalim Lo. But if you're makbid about the cost of the mezuzah, well, then the guy needs to pay you for the cost of the mezuzah, right? That at least that much he needs to pay you to cover the cost of the mezuzah. Now there is a discussion. In regards to paying for the cost of the mezuzah, meaning Rama says if you're makbid on the money, the guy has to pay you. Let's say he says no, I'm not paying you. Sometimes home sales are contentious. And, you know, the buyer and seller don't always get along very well by the time they're actually, you know, so they'll try to nickel and dime people, you know, spending $800,000 in the house, but they'll nickel and dime their way through every, you know, $7 for that and $100 for the light fixture and this, you know, every little nickel and dime. So the guy, you say, okay, I'm leaving you my mezuzahs because the halacha demands that I leave you my mezuzahs. Now please pay me for that. And the guy, so you have every right to demand payment, but the guy says, no, I don't want to pay for it. So can you say, okay, well then I'm taking the mezuzahs? Does that permit you to take them? Or is it, no, you have the right to demand payment, he's a jerk for not paying you, but what can you do? You got to leave the mezuzahs. So in order to answer that question, it's important to know what the reasons are that you're not allowed to take the mezuzahs with you. So basically there are three shittos. Tosfos in Bamitzia Daf Kuf Aleph and Beis, because Gemara in Bamitzia Daf Kuf Beis is, you saw in source number 2, the Aruch HaShulchan quoted this Gemara in Bamitzia Daf Kuf Beis that said that when you rent a house you have to leave the mezuzahs there, and quotes a Maisa of a guy who took his mezuzahs with him and he ended up burying his wife and his two sons, and the Gemara attributes that to the fact that he took his mezuzahs with him. So that's pretty bad news. So Tosfos over there says that, yeah, the reason why he buried his wife and two sons as a result of taking his mezuzahs with him is because mezuzah is protection from mazikin. Mazikin come into the house when it's left without a mezuzah. So when you took that mezuzah off the house, it was no longer protected. What's the obvious kasha? It's not my house anymore. But the other guy's wife and kids die. Why am I? Right? So Tosa says, no, the point is that since the Sefer Eshkol, the Rishonim explained that what Tosfos means is that since you weren't choshesh to guard his wife and children, so mida kenegen mida, since you weren't concerned about the safety of his wife and children, mida kenegen mida, this guy's wife and children died, right? Even though it wasn't he who was exposed to the mazikin. According to this, if let's say I'm not going to take him down, I'm just going to have a guy take him down for me, or a child take him down for me. No, the point is I can't leave the house unprotected. I'm not allowed to leave room for all the demons and the mazikin and whatever else is going to get into the house. I can't leave room for all those things to get into the house. I must leave the mezuzah. That's one answer, one approach. The Ritva, also in Bamitzi over there, writes that when there's a mezuzah on the house, there's the presence of the Shekhinah on the house. It's just not nice, it's not covered to the Shekhinah to remove the presence of the Shekhinah from the house. Not mazikin, not danger, and you're being mean because you're exposing the person. No, it's just not respectful to remove the presence of the Shekhinah from the house. Not appropriate to remove the presence of the Shekhinah. The Gaonim, Rav Chai Gaon, quoted in the She'iltos in Parsha Shalach, I think that made it into the Mar Makomos here somewhere. The Gaonim say that the reason is nothing to do with the house. It's a bizayon to the mezuzah that you're being mevatel the mitzvah's mezuzah. Here was a mezuzah doing a mitzvah, sitting on a doorpost, and you're just taking it down and leaving it in a drawer somewhere. That's a bizayon to the mezuzah. So it's three. Those are three possible terutzim. The main nafkamina between three explanations. So one possible nafkamina is, I'm not taking it down to take it down. I'm taking it down because I'm moving to a different house, which might even be bigger. I need more mezuzah. I need every last mezuzah I can get. So I'm taking these mezuzahs to go put on a different house. So if you say like the Gaonim, that the whole Isser and taking it down is a bizayin to the mezuzah, how could you take it off of a mitzvah? Well, there's a din in Hilchot Tzitzis. Matilin mi beged le beged. Familiar with that halacha? Anyone? Yeah? What does it mean? Take the tzitzis off of one beged. The beged gets worn out. My beged that my tchel is on right now happens to be a mess. So over the summer at some point in my free time, I'm going to bli neder, buy another beged, and be matilim, be beged the beged. Move the tchel is $100. The beged is not so expensive. So I'll move the tzitzis from one beged to the other beged. That's okay. I am ruining you. I'm taking away from that mitzvah. No, I'm putting it right on another one. So then that would be fine. If I'm retiring and I'm whatever, and I'm just going to travel, I'm going to be like the Beis Munvaz, you know, and I'm just going to travel the world, and I'm never, so I have nowhere to go with these mezuzahs. So then I understand I have to leave it there, or I'm moving to a smaller place, and I don't need all these mezuzahs. A lot of them are just going to end up sitting around. So fine, but if I'm going to put it in another house, so according to the Gaonim, it should be okay. But according to the Ritva, and certainly according to Tosfos, it's not okay because I'm still damaging the house or doing something disrespectful to the Shekhinah. Another possibility, what if you're in a place, you know you're moving to a place that there aren't going to be mezuzahs? So that's a lot of the poskim say, you could be somich on the Gaonim, v'chi agavna, that you know you're going to be moving to a place that there aren't, mezuzahs aren't going to be available to you. Meaning this is your only chance at having mezuzahs. So that's what the poskim all say, Rav Avad Yosef, and Yabiya Omer, chel gimel yardeya simin yilches, quotes from the Tshuvas Vayichi Yaakov. Don't know who that is, but Rav Avadya does. And he says that then, why would that be okay? Why would that be okay if I'm not going to have a mezuzah there? Because what's the halacha when you have a danger? Let's assume like Tosfos, that it's a danger. I have my own life at stake, someone else's life at stake. Chayecha Kodman. Right, we're both walking in the desert, there's only one canteen of water, and I have it. So Chayecha Kodman. So the halacha is if I have to take care of myself first. You put the air mask on yourself, and then you take care of the minors that are with you in the airport. That's halacha. Chayecha kodmi. Yeah.
What about maybe a different reason why you can't take it off, being that since mezuzah is a constant mitzvah, right? So even if the other guy who's going to be there is for sure going to put up a mezuzah, the seconds that you're taking it off are seconds of
so that's the question. When no one's living there, there's no real mitzvah.
What about the transition from you to him?
When he moves in, he'll put up a mezuzah. Meaning,
simultaneous.
What? Right. So then, okay. So meaning that might be another nafkamina.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Right. Meaning, let's say I know the guy's going to put up mezuzahs. So, Nus, what would you think? How would this play out as a nafkamina? According to the Gaonim, it's a bizayin that you're ruining it from the mitzvah. It could still be a bizayin, even if he's going to put up mezuzahs. If I have nowhere to put them, it's still going to be a bizayin for me to take them down. According to Tosfos, that I'm going to leave his house unprotected. No, he told me. He's bringing mezuzahs. He's putting them up. I'm not leaving anything unprotected. Unless you're taina, that the in-between time, even though there's no mitzvahs mezuzah, the sakana element might still be active. Which goes back to that discussion of, is there any value in mezuzah when there's no mitzvah? Does it serve to protect from sakana? We saw the large majority of poskim assume no. There's no value of mezuzah absent the mitzvah. The whole value of protecting from sakana is when there is a mitzvah. According to the Ritva, that you're taking the Shekhinah away from the house. Well, if you know that it's being put up right away, then it shouldn't be a problem. If it's going to be missing for a while, then it should be a problem. Yeah.
According to the Gaonim there, so if you know you can bring other mezuzahs, so then there's going to be a bizayon either way. But those mezuzahs, if you're not taking them, your old ones, what's he going to do with his mezuzahs?
Well, I mean, if he sees that I have mezuzahs there, he probably won't buy mezuzahs.
But seemingly, if he's telling you that he's bringing some mezuzahs.
Okay, like, but it could be. You could argue that's not my problem. that's his problem. The real shaila that comes up all the time is someone's buying a house, and the previous owner says, "I'd like to take my mezuzahs with me," and they work it out, and the buyer says, "It's fine. I'm buying my own mezuzahs anyway. I don't even trust your mezuzahs. Whatever, you know." The buyer's totally okay with it, and everyone agrees it's fine. So is that okay? Do they have the koach to be maskim on something like this? Are they allowed to make such an agreement? So, if you hold, how would it play out? If you hold like Tosfos, that how can I do this? I'm gonna leave him with mazikim in his house. It's gonna be so damaging. No, he told me he was mochel. He said it's fine. He said it's no problem. I'm gonna put up my own mezuzahs. It's fine. So let's say that this is the old paintball shayla. Well, what is it got to do with paintball? Can you be mochel and hezek that someone does for you? Meaning on hezek aguf, someone says, "Okay, I hope you don't mind. I'm just going to shoot you. It's just in the leg. Is that all right?" Yeah, I always wondered what it felt like to be shot in the leg. Good, no problem. So is that okay? You're allowed to be mochel. Lav kol kaminei. You have no right to be mochel on such a thing. Okay, maybe. Again, if it's dinner in the removal of the Shechina, so it's not a ben al mechavero, it's a dinner in the Shechina. Who's he to be mochel? The Shechina's covered. If it's dinner in the mezuzah being having nowhere to go, also, who am I to be mochel? Assuming the mezuzahs have nowhere to go, right? This shaila is asked to dozens of poskim. Just mention one, the Be'er Moshe, Deber Tzina Rav. Deber Tzina Rav is a very exciting tshuva sefer to read. He passed away, I think a couple of decades ago already, or maybe 10, 15 years ago. He was a Rav in, must have been in Debrecen originally, but that's in Hungary, but then made his way to Borough Park. And he was considered himself a Bar Plukta with Rav Moshe, because he always argues in Rav Moshe. Whether he's a Bar Plukta or Rav Moshe, I don't know, but he always argues in Rav Moshe. So very fascinating tshuvas. Sometimes there's a lot of good Torah in them, and a lot of politics also. He's very, very fascinating. He's the one, the tshuva about how you can't trust the OU kashrus because the rabbis in the OU wear short jackets. Very fascinating. So anyway, when I was spent the summer by the OU, I brought that tshuva to the office, passing around. They're like, "Oh, we know it, you know." It's like, "What are you bringing us? Old stuff." Anyway. So Deborah Tzina Rav was asked this shaila. Everyone agreed. Everyone was okay with it. The buyer, the seller. So can he take him with him? So he says, "Lefi daiti yesh lahatir hagam shematzasi birka Yosef de osir b'chei agavna." So there's birka Yosef, the chida. The chida says that it's osir. So why does the chida say it's osir? So the chida spells it out. He says, according to, he goes through all the shitos, and he says he thinks according to all the shitos, you have no problem. Everyone has the right to be mochel. It's not going to be mazikim. It's going to be put up right away. The house, it's not going to be designed to the shechinah. These mezuzahs are going somewhere. There's no reason to be machmir. But the chida says lo plug. So we should be machmir. So lo plug, you don't take mezuzahs when you leave. So the Bertina says, he himself writes that there's no reason to be machmir. So, and furthermore he says, I found b'shitum kubetzas mufurish that it's mutter. So daiti lahakel. So I think we could be mekel, especially since I've been asked this so many times, and it's very shchiach that this is what people want to do. So I'm not sure what he means by that. He says, "Umei Hashem ma'ana loshem balech shol b'dvar Hashem zvalacha." Whether that's a tefillah, or he's saying, "I've answered this answer so many times, and God forbid that Hashem would make me benichshol b'dvar alacha." So it must be right. I'm not sure what he means by that line, but either way, he says the chida himself couldn't come up with a good reason to be machmir. However. Over here, we're not just dealing with Isser. When you're dealing with Isser, so good. You have all the reasons to be Mekel, so you could be Mekel. But over here, we're dealing with Sakana. So when you're dealing with Sakana, we have a concept, Chamira Sakanta Meizura. We're much more Machmir about Sakana than we are about Isser. In fact, there are several poskim that whenever it comes to taking mezuzahs, they won't touch the Shiloh. We don't deal with mezuzahs. Why? Because Sakana, a man's wife and two children died because he took mezuzahs, according to the Gemara. So don't deal with it. Chazanish in the Tshuvas Ksavim, in case you don't believe me, it's there in the page right before Deber Tzin Rav. Sha'aluk, Sheyotzi Midiraso, and Osi Beis over there in the top left hand. Sha'aluk, Sheyotzi Midiraso, and Yachal Hachlif, and mezuzahs, and Mudaros, Bepachs Mudaros. Someone asked him, can you change nice mezuzahs for less nice mezuzahs? Veheshiv, Ein Tolshin mezuzahs. We don't take mezuzahs off. Period. Riskarev also is quoted in Pnine Rabbeinu Agriz from Reb Chaim. In mezuzas ein maschilim. We don't even begin discussions about mezuzas. I know Mari Varabi, Rabbi Willig Shlita, when you ask him about chopping down fruit trees. I don't paskin trees. Because the Gemara says over there also that people died because they cut down trees. I don't paskin trees. Deal with sakana issues. Doesn't want to deal with it. So, because of the sakana, that's karuch b'davar, so Deber Tzina writes over there in Oz Gimel, maybe the best thing to do is, a few days before you leave the house, switch it for cheaper mezuzahs, meaning take off your good mezuzahs, get them checked, put cheaper mezuzahs on, and then leave those there, and when the guy moves in, when I move into a house and there are mezuzahs there, I have every right to change them from the mezuzahs that I want there. So the guy moves in, let him put up his new mezuzahs, he'll take down the old ones, he has every right to do that, and he'll mail you the old mezuzahs, he'll give them to you. So that would be fine. He says that's the best way to avoid any sakana issue, that's the best etzah yu'utza, that's the best way to go. What? Puzzle ones you can't put up, because then it's the same as taking down, not putting anything up. Rav Moshe was asked a similar shayla, similar to what the Chaznish, in source number 7, Ramosh was asked, "Bidvar mezuzah shabidiras or shayotzimena shechavivos alav ma'od." A person had an emotional connection to his mezuzahs. Why? Shesofer mumcha kasvan lama'ano biyichud. Someone wrote them specifically for him, a very expert sofer. Va'ata pasak sofer ahu milichtov, and that sofer never writes anymore. So they're literally priceless. You cannot get these mezuzahs again. The sofer that wrote them, who wrote them dafka for you, doesn't write anymore for whatever reason. Maybe he developed tremors in his hands or something. And therefore, you can't get these mezuzahs. And he says, "V'gamisul chavivus be'etzim lemezuzah elu shekasvan chasano neiroi yir shemagir liyirei shemayim." Also, that sofer happened to have been your son-in-law, and you know that he's yirei shemayim and a really good guy, but he doesn't write anymore. So it has that sentimental value. Can you take those mezuzahs with you? So the guy who was asking the shaila said, "Oh, pischi tshuva quotes from the Birkei Yosef that if it's a house." If you're going to a place where you're not going to find mezuzahs, I mentioned this to you before, where you're not going to have mezuzahs available, so then you're allowed to take mezuzahs off the house. So the guy who's asking the shaila said, "Isn't this the same thing? Granted, I'll have mezuzahs available, but I won't have these mezuzahs available or similar quality to this available. So that's like I'm not going to have mezuzahs available." So Moshe says, "No, that's absurd. Why is that absurd? What was the reason why if I'm not going to have mezuzahs available?" In the new place, I'm allowed to take the old ones because chayecha kodmin. But it's not chayecha to get the nicest mezuzahs that were written dafka for me. I can find plenty of kosher mehudar nice mezuzahs wherever I'm moving. They won't be these mezuzahs. So Moshe doesn't think that's a valid answer at all. But he says, you're allowed to charge. how much do you charge for something that's priceless? So he says, you're allowed to charge, but there's no tashlumin for this. So maybe you're allowed to take them because he has no way to pay for it. You know that he has no way to pay for it. That assumes that if the guy says, I don't have the money, the guy says, I'm not paying for it, you're allowed to then take it. However, Moshe says, that's not pashut at all. That happens to be machlokes bach and ramah, whether you're allowed to take it if the guy says, I'm not going to pay for it.
Why didn't he just suggest the switch?
Oh, so Ramosha then says, actually, he doesn't just suggest a switch. It's a good question, why not? Ramosha suggests a third, he says, what you can do is be somech on the famous psak of Rav Henkin Zatzal. Rav Henkin paskind, that if you know that the person who's moving into the house after you is painting, is going to paint the house, so you're allowed to take your mezuzahs. This is the big heter with apartments. When you rent your first apartment, it's Hashem, you'll see, or if you've already rented your first apartment, if you rent from like one of these big places that have like dozens of apartments, so it's standard that after each tenant leaves, they repaint the whole place. So they send in a team of illegal immigrants to paint the entire place in a day. But what do they do? They see these little scrolls on the wall, they'll take them right down, or worse, they'll paint over it. So in Rav Henkin Paskin, in that situation, you have to leave your mezuzah mutal b'zayon in that kind of situation. So he says if you think that the other guy is going to be doing work in the house, going to be painting, then for sure you're allowed to take it down. All right, we didn't get to discuss the other halacha that's quoted in this the sif, which is giving a mezuzah to a non-Jew. Just suffice it to say, you're not supposed to give a mezuzah to non-Jew unless you have a very, very good reason to do so. Like, he's going to kill you. Or he's going to maybe really not like you and ultimately kill you. According to Moshe, even if he's not going to kill you right away, you're allowed to give. But otherwise, you should not give a mezuzah. And fascinating, Moshe said, someone said to Moshe, if a guy asks you for a mezuzah, very popular now, Rav Shach told me, Washington Heights, all the Hispanics have mezuzahs on their doorways. It's become very popular. So a guy asks you for a mezuzah, someone asks Moshe, just give him a case. Why don't you just give him a mezuzah case? What does he know the difference? Just give him a mezuzah case, tell him it's fine, that's a mezuzah. Or, roll up some Israeli newspaper in it or something. So Rav Moshe says, Gnevus Das, can't do that. Gnevus Das, Chulin Tzadi Dalid, applies to a guy also, so you're not allowed to do that. That would be Gnevus Das. Okay.